Any other announcements? Yes.
At our women's dinner last month, we talked about going on a road trip. So we've scheduled a road trip on Thursday, July 23rd. We're going to go and maybe have brunch or lunch at the Dutch House over in Columbiana, and then go to White House Fruit Farm. So if you're interested, let me know or let Becky know, and we'll figure out times and everything. So anybody's welcome to go.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Then let's prepare our hearts to worship Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Compassionate God,
we confess to you all our sins, our burden is heavy, and we cannot free ourselves. In your mercy, call us back to you. Your yoke is easy, and your burden is light. Restore us to dwell in your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Rest in God's love.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray.
pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Carry a son on our way, on our way. Carry a son every day. For your spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the word. That you nourish our souls with your body. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Carry a son on our way, on our way. Carry a son every day. Carry a son.
Let us pray, faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
There are no other gods besides God. The word of the Lord does not fail to come to pass. We can trust in God, through whom Israel and we are redeemed. A reading from the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsively from Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name.
I will thank you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore.
For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the pit of death.
The arrogant rise up against me, O God, and the men of violent people seize my life. They have not set you before their eyes.
But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and full of kindness and truth.
Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the child of your handmaid.
Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. For Paul, true spirituality means that we experience the reality of the Spirit, which enables us to pray as God's children, keeps us in solidarity with creation, and gives us unseen hope that God will liberate us and creation from bondage to death and decay. A reading from the 8th chapter of Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Until the end of human history. Listen for these words from God for us. Hear the parable of the sower. Wait a minute, that's the wrong one. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears
listen. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know about your gardens, but the weeds are growing faster than my flowers. I go out and I weed them and pull them up, and the next day they're like 2 inches already. It's like amazing how they're growing faster than my flowers. And we have a lot of weeds, and the grasses, they overtake. It's like kind of a daily fight with the weeds. My sermon title is called Wheat and Weeds. That's what Jesus was talking about. And I grew up on a farm. My father was a farmer, and he grew wheat among other grain crops. And wheat is harvested usually in July. So you may notice that being done, or maybe it's already done in this area. But when you see fields that are very yellow, that's kind of the stubble that's left from the wheat. And it stands out among the green of the soybeans and corn. So you can tell where wheat has been harvested. So I brought this little bouquet that has wheat in it, as you can see. And this wheat was from my father's farm over 30 years ago at his death. I had wheat made into one of the arrangements at his service. This is old wheat, and you can see it still looks like wheat. The grain hasn't fallen out, and it's called bearded. You can see this, they call this stuff that kind of sticks out here, like beards. But my father was a fighter of weeds, because when you combine the grain, the wheat, you're combining the weed seed as well. And when you take your crop to market, you get docked money for the weed seed content in your grain. So farmers don't want weed seed in their grain because that costs them money. So my father would be seen out in the field with a machete knife, chopping down weeds, because by the time we get around to them again, they were pretty high. So Jesus is using this parable, this example, because his listeners would have been agrarian. They would have known about wheat, and they would have known about weeds. And so he tells the parable about the homeowner, the landowner, sowing good seed, good wheat seed in his fields. And if you know the parable of the sower that broadcast seed, that's how they sowed seed back then. They didn't have the planters. They had a bag of seed and they would broadcast it. They would fling it in their fields. And so he was sowing good seed, but when it germinated and grew up, there were weeds there along with it. And the weeds are called bearded, like this, poisonous darnel. And the darnel looks very much like the wheat. So they wouldn't be able to tell that easily from the good crop that they wanted to grow. So the parable says, and Jesus says, while everyone was asleep. Who's everyone that's asleep?
Us.
Yes. The church is asleep. Because there are more weeds in our world than there's wheat in the church. So we're asleep while the enemy is busy sowing weed seed. And the servant said, well, shall we go out and gather those weeds and get them out of there and burn them? And Jesus says, no, you leave them alone. Let them grow together, because if you pull up the weeds, you're going to pull up the wheat as well, because their roots intertwined. So if the roots are tangled, you can't pull up one without the other. And Jesus says, just let the weeds and the wheat grow until the harvest time, at the end of the age, and then I will separate the wheat from the weeds. Only God knows what is true wheat and what is true weeds. We know there are lots of weeds in our world. And as I was preparing this sermon and read about the weeds at the end time, at death or at the last judgment, that will be separated, they will be taken and thrown into the fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And I started to cry. Do you care about family members and friends and neighbors and acquaintances and people in other nations in our world who are going to suffer hell forever and ever, while we're busy thinking about how great it's going to be when we get to heaven? Forever. The church has been asleep. And the evil one has planted lots of weeds. And we're growing together. And only God knows the difference. But even more disconcerting than that urgency that the church needs to be transforming more of those weeds into wheat is the weeds we have in the church. You think you're all wheat? No. Because where does the evil one want to be? Where Christians are gathered. Why? So the evil one can derail us from the faith. Can cause us to become weedier than more wheat. So in the church, we have weeds. How do I know? Well, I can't determine for sure, but I've certainly seen some evidence. The church often says to me, because I'm in many churches as pulpit supply, oh, we are the friendliest church. You probably say it too. But there's a difference in being friendly and being welcoming. And I can observe that at church dinners. Because where do people tend to sit? With their family and their friends. And those they don't know so well, or maybe newer members or visitors, where are they seated? Out in the margins. Have they been welcomed into the fellowship, into the community? No. I've also observed a family who had a mentally challenged little girl. And they left the church because they did not feel that she was welcomed. I know of a young man, he was a tall, big man, who was not dressed really well, had to walk a mile or two to his work. He would get very hot and sweaty. He would come to church, pretty grimy, not smelling really good, and he came a couple Sundays, and the church didn't welcome him, and we didn't see him again. I also experienced a family who had a teenager that was on the autistic spectrum. He was diagnosed as being Asperger's, which is higher functioning in of the autistic spectrum. But the other teenagers in the congregation and the other parents did not make them feel welcome, and they left the church. Then I met a woman, one of the churches I was serving as a transitional pastor. She would only tell the church her first name, not her last, because she didn't want them bugging her to become a member of the church, because she had been burned by the church and she wasn't sure she wanted to be a part of it. Thank God, for some reason, she shared her name with me and came to the membership classes, and I had the privilege of baptizing her. But she had gone to a church early on in her more youthful age, and it was to a potluck covered dish dinner at Christmas time, because I remember her telling that she fixed a ribbon gelatin salad. You know, the one that has red jello and then a layer of whipped cream and then green jello and a layer of whipped cream and so on. This lovely ribbon salad in a 9x13 pan. And she took it to the kitchen of the church and set it on the table there so the women could place it where they wanted the salads and desserts and things to go. You know how church kitchens are organized and run by certain people. That's another soapbox topic, but not for today. So, something caused her to go into the kitchen, and she observed an older woman with her 9x13 pan scraping her salad into the garbage can. And she went over and said, "Oh my goodness, was there something wrong with my salad?" And the woman said to her, "We don't serve Cool Whip here." And she left the church. We're weedy. There are weeds among us. And more disconcerting than that, there are weeds in the wheat. We're weedy. Maybe not to the extent of the weeds in the world or the evil weeds among us, but we're full of weeds. That's why we repent every day, every worship. We repent of the weeds we can name and we know about, and we know what those weeds are. The things we've said or done and shouldn't have during the week, or the things we should have said and should have done and we didn't. Those are easier to repent of. But what about the weeds that are like the darnel? The roots are entangled with our wheat roots. What about those sins that are so much a part of our life? They're part of who we are. What about those sins we can't even identify because they have been with us our whole lives? And that's why the Holy Spirit prays for us with sighs too deep for words, trying to get at the darnel in us and help us to see what that is. Now, I have weeds that I like because I can ask God to forgive me about those weeds, but then I grow them every day because I happen to like that particular sin. Maybe it gives me something. Maybe it makes me feel better. Maybe it gives me a sense of power, some reason. But I like some of those weeds. And some of the weeds that are part of my makeup, I don't even know what they are. But I have some clues about some of them. And one is, I'll share with you, that I know is deeply rooted in me because I know I got it from my father. I'm very critical and judgmental. And it's hard to get rid of that weed because every day I see other people and I start judging them and being critical of them and what's going on and what they're doing, and I find them very annoying. I want to be lovely and gracious. But the darnel roots are entangled. They're deep. They're holding on. And it's only God's Holy Spirit that can help untangle those. Help me get rid of them. Help you get rid of your weeds. It's only God who can judge any one of us as to whether we're more wheat-like or we're weedier. We can't do it. I might see a weed in you I think is pretty weedy. That doesn't mean you're all weed. I don't know that. Only God knows. So the parable that Jesus gives us today, it's whether we're the good seed, more wheat-like, or has the evil one planted bad seed in us, that weedy seed that grows and thrives so quickly. So as we come to the communion table, I would suggest you might be talking with God about your weeds. Are you more wheat or are you more weeds? Amen.
Thank you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe